We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Huge announcement today, show, from Arch Manning, quarterback. 2023 number one overall recruit, top quarterback in the country in the class of 2023. The nephew of Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, son of Cooper Manning. He'll always be known as Peyton and Eli's nephew and instead of Cooper's son, right?
I mean,
Coop played a little wide receiver at Ole Miss.
I feel bad for Coop, man. He had that career-ending injury, the neck thing. Yep. He was a serious receiver.
Yeah, he's a good little player.
How Jonathan Owens is always going to be known as Mr. Simone Biles. Same thing.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. There was absolutely no reason for that hit piece.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's a pretty good comparison.
He'll always be known as Peyton and Eli ties, not Cooper. I feel for Coop in this situation, but Arch Manning, he has announced his commitment to the University of Texas, and the question here for me, Sho, is this a turning point for the University of Texas? Because what's been going on at the University of Texas is, for lack of better terms, it's been embarrassing. I mean, you look at Mac Brown. Left it a mess, right? You look at Charlie Strong. He couldn't fix it quick enough. You look at Tom Herman, year two, goes to the Big 12 championship, wins 10 games. Boy, you think he's back. 2 years later, he's fired, right? And since Steve Sarkisian's been there, the biggest story to come out of that program has been an assistant coach whose stripper girlfriend had a monkey that bit an elementary-aged kid. I mean, that's the most notable thing that's happened since Steve Sarkisian's been there. Seriously, I mean, I know it's funny, but I mean,
none of it's been good.
At the end of the day,
on or off the field,
right? I mean, that was a bigger story than anything that a Texas player has done. The distant second story would be, I guess, Bijan Robinson, the running back right now, signing an NIL deal and getting a Lamborghini out of the deal. That was a big story. That was a big story nationally.
That's probably not great either.
Well, I mean, there's nothing on the field that has happened since Steve Sarkisian got there that Longhorn Nation could be proud of, if I'm being completely honest, at
nothing.
The end of the day. And so this could be a turning point for the University of Texas. One thing that's always interested me about Texas is the way that the University of Texas recruits itself. Forever, it doesn't matter what the product on the field looked like.
With the coach.
It doesn't matter who the head coach was. It didn't matter what kind of dysfunction was going on within the walls of the program. It didn't matter. They were going to have a really, really good recruiting class. I mean, you can look at the last 5 years. It's been dysfunction. Like I said, the biggest story coming out of Austin has been a stripper's monkey. And three of the last 5 years, they've had top five recruiting classes. Somehow, some way. I mean, I'd like to think it's Texas Hill Country because how much I love the Texas Hill Country. I don't know what the hell it is, Show. But at the end of the day, the question is Arch Manning, a year in advance, the nephew of Peyton and Eli, having the Manning name as the spear of a recruiting class, is that a turning point? Is that a turning point for the University of Texas? Is that enough of a name? Is that enough of a shot in the arm for Arch Manning to literally be the turning point for the University of Texas, at least to quit going the wrong direction and sliding and being dysfunctional and a disappointment to literally turn this thing and start trending in the right direction?
Well, they've got to take the next step from what they have been. And And, yeah, Arch Manning could be one of the keys to that, but the ultimate key is the head coach, right? Steve Sarkisian is the ultimate key. And as you've said, like, they've had good recruiting classes. Like, Tom Herman had good recruiting classes. In the latter stages of Mack Brown, they had top five recruiting classes. They've been able to recruit. They've had players. They just hadn't coached their players up to be worth the damn consistently to be what we believe Texas should be year in and year out. There's been a huge difference between what Leakin was doing at Oklahoma and what they're doing at Texas, and they expect to be on the same level as OU. And they had, I mean, he's had a really good offseason in terms of they had a top five recruiting class. They got the kid to transfer, the quarterback Ewers to transfer over to Texas. You know, now they bring in this kid in 2023, the guy that everybody was hunting. But what is it going to result to on the field?
We don't know.
I think
we'd be crazy, because when we're talking about it through the lens of Arch Manning, it's going to be a year or two before. Hell, I know it's going to be a year. It's going to be 2 years before we know whether Arch Manning can play or not. But there's a lot of value in him committing to the University of Texas right now. Let's be honest, Quinn Ewers, the kid. I mean, he's there now, but he killed Texas last year in recruiting. He grew up wanting to be a Longhorn, committed to the Longhorns, and then flipped to Ohio State during the final stages of recruiting, and took that money up there in Ohio State. Now, you can argue he really killed a recruiting class, or killed momentum from a recruiting perspective for the University of Texas. Now, he transferred in as a one-time transfer, but
finally came on home.
Yeah, so my point is what little momentum Sarkisian was able to gain with him on board as a commitment was crushed the minute he flipped to Ohio State. With Arch Manning as a commitment a year early, I don't think it's just a potential turning point. If I were a Texas fan, I would put extremely high expectations on Steve Sarkisian, and I would say, your ass is on the clock.
It should be.
Jimbo Fisher just set the bar Jimbo Fisher showed you how powerful it is in Texas to have the SEC at your back, obviously a big brand at your back, money at your disposal, right? I mean, all the things that Jimbo Fisher has, Steve Sarkisian has.
We ain't going nowhere.
If you don't live up to those expectations, if you're Steve Sarkisian, then heads are going to have to roll. I think at the end of the day, the clock is ticking on Steve Sarkisian. And now you have no excuse. You have the sharpest tip to any spear that anybody has in the country right now with Arch Manning as a commitment. If you can't build a recruiting class that's comparable to what Jimbo Fisher did last year, I'm not going to say you have to exceed it, because Jimbo blew it out of the water. The number of five is crazy. I mean, what they did was crazy. I mean, to think that somebody's going to just all of a sudden do that because they've got Peyton and Eli's nephew is crazy. But they should be in that conversation with Arch Manning at the tip of that spear, if you will. That's how powerful I think this kid is. That's how powerful I think the name is for the University of Texas. You should be able to build an awfully impressive recruiting class around him, Show.
No, you should be able. You should be able to, and you ought to make this payoff. I wonder, to Tyler, do you feel a little different about the next time they play? I guarantee you don't need to know who's on the field. Feel any different about that the next time Texas and A&M plays?
No,
it doesn't matter. They're bringing in top guys.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm happy they got them a 5-star. I mean, A&M. We know A&M has a few of those coming in. Come into Kyle Field, their first year in the SEC, that atmosphere, first year SEC. Like I said, no, there's no way. And of course, us three will be in attendance to witness the ass whooping the Aggies put on the Horns. Be a good time.
My whole thing to that conversation was, we just don't quite know who's going to be on the field and who they're going to have at that point.
Well, here's the thing. Both organizations, they got to find their quarterback. Jimbo can go out there and get all the 5-stars he wants. Sarkisian can go out there and keep the strippers and their monkeys in the headlines of the organization. Whoever finds a quarterback first, a true blue, hang my hat on, this is the leader of my organization, and it's not this, well, we recruited so-and-so, and we so-and-so transferred, and we hope this kid's going to be great. Find the guy, hang your hat on him. That's going to be the program that's going to win. That's ultimately going to be the program that's going to win a lot of games in the SEC, that's going to exceed expectations consistently, is who finds that quarterback. I don't know if Arch Manning's that guy. I don't know if what any of the kids that are log jammed at Texas A&M right now are the guy that's going, the quarterback that's going to do that. But ultimately, I feel like Texas is several tiers below A&M right now, and if they're ever going to get back in the same conversation with A&M, getting commitments a year in advance from a kid like Arch Manning is absolutely huge in that process. Hell, I thought that the University of Texas should have fired Sarkisian and started over. And my only fear was, you give Sarkisian another year and another year and keep saying, well, one day he's going, man, you're going to look up and you're going to be 2 years deep into the SEC and you're going to be middle of the pack at best.
Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, they decided to ride with Sarkisian. Okay, I get it. You're inside the building. You want to ride with Sarkisian? I'll trust you on it. Okay, well, now you better find a way in the next 2 years to get this thing moving in the right direction before you meet an SEC schedule.
Yeah.
I
think what you said earlier, Sark, is like it's on him now, man. Like, yeah, we've given you enough time. You've gotten these guys in. It's on him.
Well, you know this is coming. For the record, well, I'll let you hear. This is a welcome to Texas for Arch Manning right here.
You know, the roles I've played in my career are no stranger to the star. Contact. A man reaches out into the dark, vast expanses of space with radio technology to find signs of intellect, brain power, previously unbeknown to man. Or interstellar, in which a man leaves behind his family legacy to surf among the stars and take a deep black hole dive in order to find sustenance to provide for a starving human race. But in all my time on screen, these two eyes have never seen a collection of five stars quite as bright as those belonging to Arch Manning. Arch, welcome to Texas. You hear that? You feel that? That's Bebo knocking on your heart. He's always been in there, just waiting to come out. The era of M-A-N-I-N is now L-I-V-I-N. Owen, what arm does he throw with? His right. Hook him.
That's pretty good. That is not, that was not
Matthew. That's tremendous.
But that is strong.
that is for the record, that is not Matthew McConaughey. But had I not seen the video, I would have thought it was Matthew McConaughey. 100%.
You can hear some. You can hear some spaces that isn't. It's just phrases that Matthew would not say himself.
Right.
But it is. But whoever that gentleman is, I'm.
That was good.
I think his name is Ron Kraft. He is a. That is a strong, strong imitation.
That's, yes, Bebo.
That's very knocking good. I don't know what the hell Arch Manning's going to be at Texas. I don't know if Texas is ever going to be back. But I know from a recruiting perspective, Texas was losing its luster, and I was wondering how long it was going to hang on. And a get like this, a commitment like this, could be a turning point for the University of Texas. And at the end of the day, man, college football, whether you're a fan of Texas or not, college football is better. The SEC will be better if Texas is – competing nationally, competing at the top of the SEC, and competing for, at least being a contender for a title in the early season talks. I mean, that's, college football is better if that's the case. SEC will be better if that's the case. College football in the state of Texas will be better if that's the case. So we'll see what Arch Manning can do.
All right. They've got their thoughts about what you've been talking about, Clint, on the text line. We may have to share some of that with you. Also coming up, the Astros have a huge series against the Yankees in New York, starting a four-game set. We'll tell you why really, in the middle of June, this is such an important series for the Astros moving forward. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the Show.
Make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to hear and go see at NRG August 6th, Garth Brooks. He'll be there. Make sure you're listening. All you got to do is wait in the 5 o'clock hour until you hear that great song, I've Got Friends in Low Places. And when you hear that, call in 713-572-4610. The first person to call for the final time this week wins a pair of tickets to catch Garth Brooks as he closes out his stadium tour at NRG here in Houston. So make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour. You got to be listening. And, hey, you don't know what segment it's going to happen in. So don't try to time it. Don't try to time it. All right, we're here. Hey.
Just tune your ass in is what he's saying.
Tyler's a trickster now. Don't try to time this thing. Make sure you're
– I am in control.
Just make sure you're listening. Just make sure you're listening. From the text line, 832. Damn, man, what do you guys want? The Horns had a number 5 recruiting class this year.
I said that. They've somehow had 3 of the last 5 recruiting classes for the University of Texas have been top 5 classes. I think they've had 2 number 3 overalls and 1 number 5. Hell, along the way, they had a number 8 in there somewhere, too. I don't want any more. My point was, at some point, we're talking about the University of Texas was a nationally revered program. We're talking about championship DNA, expectations to compete for a title. It was in the elite of the elitist. It's a blue blood program, and they had lost everything. They've lost everything over the last 10 years. They've lost everything that was built in those years where Colt McCoy, Vince Young, Ricky Williams, and all those guys were competing and putting Texas on a national stage. I know they were on a national stage before that. All the old heads, don't hammer me. I went to Arkansas. I understand. Trust me, I know that Texas was winning national championships back then. I get it. But the point is they had lost all of that. They could no longer walk in high schools in California, beat their chest, and compete with the powerhouses on the West Coast, if you will, in recruiting. They couldn't even walk in the high schools in the state of Texas and compete with A&M. I mean, that's where Texas couldn't even compete with the D1s in their own state at times over the last 10 years. What do I want? I mean, what I would like is for Texas to be relevant. What I would like is for the product on the football field to be respectable.
You mean don't lose 7 games?
Yeah, I mean that too. Yeah, I mean I want Texas to be relevant nationally because I'm a college football fan and the game is better when Texas is relevant. The one thing, and I've said this from the jump, the one thing that Texas some way, somehow has, through all this dysfunction, has always been able to do is recruit. I mean, 3 of the last 5 years, top 5 recruiting classes. But the product on the field doesn't match it. Right? And my point is, I believe they were on the verge of losing that. I believe the University of Texas recruits itself. No matter what coach is there, no matter how much dysfunction is there, I believe the University of Texas recruits itself. And I believe that those days were numbered and are numbered if they don't get this thing right. And I believe Arch Manning, from a recruiting standpoint, is a huge, huge get for Texas because it allows them to potentially start climbing back in the right direction. I believe the days of them being able to recruit, no matter what, the overcome all the other issues that are in the program, I believe that was going to wear thin eventually. And getting Arch Manning could potentially get them moving back in the right direction. The days of them walking in and beating their chest and being better than everybody else in the state of Texas and, hell, really nationally, those days were over. So you were on the verge of it anyway. You were somehow, some way, still able to recruit at a pretty high level. But anybody with a brain knows that, hey, man, you're slipping big time. And so what I expect is to see the product continue recruiting big time, top five recruiting classes. With this Arch Manning, I expect you to be number one in 2023, to be completely honest with you. But start winning some ball games. Get the tradition back. Get the pride back, man.
I think I'm going to stand up here.
For what?
Really express myself.
Well, I mean, I'd love for you to. Stand up.
To this person.
Looking good in that maroon.
To this texter. And I want to read it again from the 832. I got real mind to read your entire number, but I won't do that. Damn, man. What do you guys want? The Horns had a number five recruiting class last year. Would it safe to assume that this person is a Texas fan? I'm just going to assume that by the way this came across. What the hell do you want? Is my question to you. I would be honest. If you were a part of my – if I was a Texas fan and you were a part of my fan base, I'd be ashamed of you. You're a bad fan. There is one thing that I despise. Despise. And I think part of that comes into another conversation that I don't want to have right now, is when people don't know who they are. Sir, ma'am, you're Texas. And I hope you don't take this the wrong way, Tyler. But there should be no way in hell that any Texas fan should accept what Clint just said in the last segment, that A&M is multiple levels ahead of the University of Texas in football. As I said, I hope Tyler and your cronies don't take this the wrong way. But Texas and A&M should not be multiple levels ahead of Texas in football. And Texas shouldn't be multiple levels ahead of A&M.
Clown acts.
That should not be the case. And you're okay with it? And you have the audacity to say to us, damn man, what do you guys want? What the hell do you want? You want to lose to Kansas? I watch them every week. They suck ass. They didn't all of a sudden just get good on a crazy night in November in Austin. No, they sucked. What do you guys want? The Horns had a number. Who gives a damn? You're not doing anything with it. You're in a place where Texas A&M is 4 miles ahead of you.
Gig'em.
Baylor had a coach and a football program that was in hell. Second to Penn State. One of the worst we've seen. And they're back in the Big 12 championship game. They won the Big 12 championship last year. Dave Aranda has Baylor in your state back. You lost 7 games last year. And you have the nerve to say, damn, man, what do you guys want?
Yeah, it's not good.
Texas fans, you cannot be sitting here with the, whoa, what do you want? No, you got to be, yeah, I'm glad we got him. All right, Sark, come on, man, or your ass got to get up out of here. Texas has the ability, with the brand and the money they have, to hire whoever the hell they want. And they can't get right since Mack Brown. It's been 9 years, 10 years. What do you want? What do you want as a Texas fan?
Yeah, look, I'm with you. You can talk about the recruiting class all you want.
What?
Like, you can talk about the recruiting class all you want, but I'm looking at the numbers. Since 2010, you've had one double-digit win season. You've won 9 games once. You've won 8 games once since 2010. I'm sorry, since 2012. So in the last 10 years. Otherwise, you've been 6-5-5, 7-7-5. What do you want? I mean, I don't personally know a Texas fan that isn't embarrassed with what their football program is at right
Sir,
now. I don't know who
you are. Good God. You're not Washington State. You're Texas. Good God. What are you, Vanderbilt expectation? Good heavens. Coming up, big day in the NBA, especially for the Houston Rockets. Our guy Jeff Goodman, who covers college basketball and knows all of these players in the draft and the Rockets have three first-round picks. He knows all of these players that are coming out in the draft. Jeff Goodman of Stadium will join us coming up next to see what he thinks about what the Rockets will do and what kind of players they're getting. Jeff Goodman coming up next.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, big night in Houston. And, of course, Houston sports leader, Sports Radio 610, will hold you down. Stay tuned. Don't miss it. 7 p.m. tonight after Texans All Access. Make sure you're listening in. The Rockets. It's our Rockets draft special with Landry Locker and Adam Spolane. These guys know the Rockets well and know the draft. You missed it. They covered and did a special on the draft lottery. And we're already talking about where they're going to go. And most that we're hearing, at least from Woj, that 1, 2, and 3 seems to be potentially decided. And it looks like the kid from Auburn, Jabari Smith, the forward from Auburn, will go 1 to the Magic. And then Chet Holmgren, the forward / center from Gonzaga, will go 2nd to Oklahoma City. And then the Houston Rockets are looking at Paolo Banchero, the forward from Duke. And joining us now, basketball analyst who covers college basketball as well as anybody in the country, Jeff Goodman, one of the best in the business. Jeff, most people are saying that it looks like Banchero will go to the Rockets. As we said, the forward out of Duke. I know you watched him a lot. I listened to a lot of your podcast in the Final Four leading up to it, and I know you watched him a ton. Does he have a chance to be the best player, a realistic chance to be the best player in this draft?
Hell yes, absolutely. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all if Paolo becomes the best player, and I think he'll be the best player early, meaning next year, because he is 6'10 and a half, 255 pounds, and where Chet Holmgren is going to have trouble just getting and staying on the court, and even Jabari Smith, who's 6'10, 220, is going to have trouble, you know, with the physicality of the NBA. This kid's not only going to not have trouble, he's going to be bigger and stronger than most of the people that he goes up against. He does not look like, you know, he's 20 years old. He's a man-child, and I've compared him to Chris Webber over the last few years since I first saw him, and I first saw him after his sophomore year of high school, and I actually ended up seeing him at a high school game also out in Seattle at O'Day, and I just love what he can do, his versatility. Again, you know, he can back down a dude in the post if he wants to. He can face up and shoot the three, not with regularity yet, but I think that'll get there. He can drive guys. He can finish above the rim. There's just not much he can't do.
Jeff, what about the intangible aspect of the kid? I mean, because, look, he's coming to a program, an organization here, if he gets drafted by the Rockets, assuming, or hell, I guess if he gets drafted by any of the top three, that he's going to a program where, let's be honest, it's not –
they're not good.
They're not good. There's dysfunction a lot of the times. The situations aren't ideal. What about him from an intangible standpoint with your experience?
I like him. I don't know if he's ever going to be like a leader type. You know, he's not the most vocal kid in the world. Neither is Jalen Green. You know, like those two, though, if you put some good veterans around them, and that's going to be the next step if you draft him, right, is, you know, those two, let them grow, and can they be kind of like a Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown type? That's kind of what I would compare them to, is can they be that you know, Batman and Robin type, that they're both, you know, one becomes a legitimate top 10 player in the NBA, the other's a fringe all-star, and, you know, then you surround them with good, solid veterans like the Celtics have done in Boston with, like, Al Horford has been awesome. And then some of the other pieces, you know, around them. So I think this is a great start. If you have Jalen Green and Paolo Banchero to build around. And then, you know, let's see what they do with 17 tonight. I don't know what they're going to get there or if you trade it, but I think the bigger key is, you know, what do you do with John Wall's deal? Can you move him? I don't know how you can for four. I mean, you're going to have to absorb a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff Goodman joins us. And Jeff, speaking of 17, they've got two more picks there in the first round, 17 and another one in the early 20s there. What are players maybe outside of the top 10 that could be really good, helpful parts there that are maybe under the radar that we're not hearing about?
You know, I love a kid. Dalen Terry is a kid out of Arizona, sophomore, who's, you know, again, you're looking for like those versatile. This is a horrible point guard draft, guys. Atrocious. Like, and the position's not great in the NBA to begin with right now. So, you know, there's not much there in terms of point guards. Maybe the one guy I could see them taking a shot on is a Ty Washington. He's a combo guard who was at Kentucky last year, and he's 6'3", 200, not a great athlete, but has good feel for the position. Just didn't play the position a ton, played off the ball more because Kentucky had a kid named Sabir Wheeler who was a pure point who couldn't shoot but was a distributor. I really like Ty. I think he'll go in that 17, you know, somewhere in that 17 to 22 range. I think Dalen Terry is a great defender, versatile wing, and you're going to need some defense. You know, that's the other thing right now. You're going to need some defense for Houston. You know, maybe Tari Eason, kid who transferred from Cincinnati to LSU, had a great year last year. E.J. Liddell is another guy I think goes in that range, and he's a versatile forward from Ohio State who just got better and better and better. And then maybe big falls, maybe like a legitimate one of these, you know, Mark Williams from Duke. I don't think Jalen Duren does, but maybe Houston can package those two and move up to get one of those guys, and they're both big-time rim protectors.
Jeff, we had Ryan McDonough on, I guess, last hour, and I know you've had him on your Field of 68 podcast. Yeah, man, it was great. And he said he felt like with those two draft picks, if the Rockets did want to package and move up, they could potentially move up to the 10 to 14 range. You mentioned a couple of guys. You know, there is there, it's, I got a two part question. Is there
there's
anybody,
a difference?
You mentioned 17, 10 to 14 is a little difference. Is there anybody in that range that you could say, hey, that's somebody worth jumping for?
Yeah. Like to me, there's a few guys, then you're going to get a big time shooter with size, you know, then 10 to 15, you're going to get an AJ Griffin from Duke, who shot 42% from three. I think this past year as a freshman, which is really impressive. And Ochai Agbaji, who's a, you know, he won a national title at Kansas, and he's a perfect 3-and-D guy, or a Malachi Branham, who's a freshman coming out of Ohio State, who's just a big-time scorer, shooter as well. So that's where you kind of get in that 10 to 15 range. You get to those guys that, to be honest, are a little more skilled scorers that I think are going to go in that range, and then you're going to be left with a lot of the projects. Like a kid like Jalen Williams is a junior from Santa Clara. He could be good. Blake Wesley, freshman from Notre Dame. He could be good. I just think you're talking about guys that are probably more second contract guys. And if I'm Houston, I'd love a guy like Ochai Agbaji. I know I can put him out there now. I know he's going to make shots. He's going to guard. He's an intangible guy. He's a winner. He just won a national, was the best player on a team that won the national title. So I would love to have a guy like that if I'm Houston.
Hey, Jeff, if Banchero's gone at one or two, who should, as Rocket fans, who should we hope either falls, or who outside that top three could sneak into the top three that Houston would pick there if Banchero's gone?
I mean, Dayton Ivey's the one guy that you could see crack in the top three, but, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, you know, to me that – you're choosing between Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren. If you're Houston, you're actually in the perfect position.
Yep.
Because you're going to get – I think you're going to get Paolo. But if you don't, you're going to get a really good player. The drop-off comes after three, from three to four. And to be honest, whoever's three doesn't have that same pressure that the number one pick is going to have. And they're going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And I know Paolo will. Trust me. If he doesn't get taken number one, which he's likely not going to, he's going to have a chip for the rest of his career every time he watches Jabari or Chet.
Give us your breakdown of Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren real quick. If the Rockets get either of the two, other than Banchero, as a Rockets fan, what are we getting?
I'm really listening on Chet.
All right, so I'll start with Jabari. Jabari, the comparisons to Kevin Durant are insane, insanely ridiculous, okay? Like, I just don't even want to hear it. It's stupid. I think the better comparison is Rashard Lewis in his prime.
That's a good one.
Rashard Lewis was a hell of a player. 6'10", same height as Jabari, could shoot the heck out of the ball, shot about 39% from his career for three. That's a fair comparison. Chet, here's my best comparison, guys. And I know everybody's saying, like, Porzingis. He's not the shooter Porzingis is.
No.
And he's so much better defensively. Like, it's another dumb comparison. The best comparison is Anthony Davis. And here's why. Wow. Okay? They can both put it on the floor and make plays. They can both shoot it from the perimeter. They can both block shots, alter shots, run the court. They're both thin. Here's the difference. Now, the other similarity is both body builds. AD's been hurt quite a bit, and he's got a better body than Chet does. The difference is Chet's 188 pounds, and when you look at him, you say to yourself, I don't think he can put on the same weight that Anthony Davis. You looked at his shoulders, you were like, he's going to be able to fill out. He's gonna gain 30 pounds. With Chet, you look at him and you say, "Why? How is he going to gain 30 pounds? I don't see it." So you worry about his long-term durability because of all that, and you worry about his short-term effectiveness because, frankly, if you try to put him on the court next year and put him against some of these bigs in the NBA, they're going to drive him to the rim.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us. A big night tonight, and I was hoping the Rockets would get Banchero anyway, and he feels to me the most NBA ready guy.
Oh no! If you get Paolo at number three, you should. I mean, Clint's going to be drinking anyway. Have a couple extra ones. No. Make sure Mama has a few too. All right.
Oh no question about it. Hey, real quick, man, tell the folks where Field of 68, where we can find your work, man.
Yeah, just at Goodman Hoops on Twitter. Stadium, Field of 68, a little bit of both. And we got a show tonight on Stadium. Shams Charani, the best breaking news guy in the NBA. Myself, we've Pat Garrity, played in the league, was an exec in the league. Cam Smith and Max Strus, who started for the Miami Heat this year in the playoffs. So should be a good show.
All right, Jeff, appreciate you jumping on with us, man. Enjoy the draft tonight.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's Jeff Goodman, Stadium there, who works there. He's covered college football or college basketball, excuse me, for a long time.
I don't know how, and I do some stuff with Jeff on his Field of 12. We do the football version of what they do with the Field of 68. But he and his crew.
I need to get on that college basketball version.
They're on the floor.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they were.
Like, I've been with the network, and I've been with different high level media teams, and it's like, hell, it's hell getting on the floor with them. And I look down, and Goodman and his crew, he ain't just him. He's got six guys on the damn wood.
The final four, they were right down.
Yeah. There. I'm like, what is Goodman doing? And then he pops off about the Razorbacks, and he gets my mom going on his ass. So we've nicknamed him Goody. So when mom gets after Goody and gets to telling him she's going to whoop that ass, they go, she's actually been on his podcast.
I'm gonna come over there and whoop that ass.
I heard she was she was nice.
She softened up. We're working on
that. She was nice.
We're working on that.
Nice, Linda.
Yeah, she softened up. It wasn't her finest moment.
Yeah.
We're working through some things.
That's how she gets when she's around me for the most part. Clint Sterner riding the show. Tyler Milner producing this thing. Clint, this was interesting. I'm just scrolling through the Twitter world. I see the story. Farrell Brown thinks he's going to be an All-Pro this season. I said, hold on, what? Farrell didn't say that himself. I read the story there. Yep, Farrell said the game has just slowed down and understanding all the fine line details now. Obviously, that's good because he had some issues with some of the details when it came to the snap count often last year and holding. And he said the changes of that happening will only make the tight end believe that he will be, as he said, this is going to help me become an all-pro this season. This is going to help me become an all-pro this season. Tight end Farrell Brown, a guy that you have backed,
yeah,
a guy that you have been on.
Yeah, I'm with Farrell, no question. Not with that comment, but I'm with Farrell.
Fine line details, that's going to help me become an all-pro.
Yeah, look, just commenting on the quote that I see. I don't have any context in front of me, but ultimately this is the one thing that you would rather Farrell Brown not say. Like, I just there's something about a player that hasn't done anything yet, being humble, keeping his nose down, and grinding, and not making comments like this. It's one thing to have goals of being the best tight end in the game. I totally get that. But when you start talking about things that you're doing right now are going to help you be an all-pro this year, like not in 5 years, but like this year, before you ever like solidify as a starter for a team or solidify as a pro that can go the entire season without pre-snap penalty problems or just penalty problems keeping you off the field or limiting your snap count. I'm not a big fan of these kinds of comments. Again, I don't know the context in which he was said. That line could have been pulled from anywhere in a conversation with this particular reporter. So I don't want to be too harsh. I'm not a big fan of, you know, folks predicting that they're going to be Pro Bowlers or all pro players or telling people that they're leaders or telling people that they're great. I feel like you should show up and just let your work and let your production prove that.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like his headspace should be in the place of all pro this year. Feels like his headspace should be in the space of, I understand goals, but your focus, to me, the focus needs to be, man, I got to make sure I can stay in the league.
I agree.
Can I be the best tight end on this team?
Again? Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, what you don't ever want to be is a guy that thinks he's a lot better than he really is. And now I can't relate because I've never been as gifted as a guy like Farrell Brown is. If tangibly Farrell Brown, if his production ever matches his potential and his tangible skill set, then you got a guy that's going to be in this league for a long time. Will not need to tell people how good he is. I don't know if he's going to be all pro because, I mean, hell, that's one a year, I think. You know, you're talking about a guy that has a crazy athletic, crazy gifted skill set. If he can ever just stay on the field, his production, I believe, will match that, and you'll get a starting tight end in this league. However, he's never done that. And
he's coming off his career highs last year, 23 catches for 171 yards.
What you risk here is
most of that happened in the first game.
Right. What you risk here is becoming that player that thinks he's really good but hasn't ever done anything, or is nowhere near as good or as talented or as productive as his belief in himself is. And there's a lot of those guys out there. In my opinion, you don't want to be. I played with a couple of those guys in Dallas, really good guys, really good players, but just carried themselves in a way as if they were Pro Bowlers before they ever pissed a drop. That's not a real good look, and it's not going to last long in the league. I don't think GMs like it. I don't think coaches like it. And ultimately, I don't think teammates like it. So I'm not saying that Farrell Brown is all those things because I don't have any context around what was said. But that particular comment in a vacuum for me, I think Farrell Brown at this point in time should stay away from.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, man, make this team, baby. Stay on this team.
That's right.
See if you can be better than Brevin Jordan. See if you can be on the field outside of him. All right, coming up, this is the hour, the 5 o'clock hour, your chance, your final chance this week to win a pair of tickets to see Garth Brooks as the stadium tour concludes here in Houston August 6th at NRG. Be the first caller when you hear "I've Got Friends in Low Places." When you hear Tyler play that, don't wait. Call in 713-572-4610. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. Big, big night in Houston, all over the place, including up in New York. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.